Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the guests that we have visiting with us, and greetings to those of you who are watching on the webcast. I attended a segregated school from the first grade through the 12th grade. And as I began my senior year of high school, two or three students from another family integrated the all-white school in the town that I attended school in. And as was probably a thing that everybody in the South did when their school was integrated, some businessmen got together and they decided to build a private school, because many did not want their children to attend school with someone of a different race. And my first occurrence or first opportunity to attend a group of people that were where there was more than one race in attendance was my father and I first Sabbath service. Of course, we felt very uneasy going into a group of people that we never saw before or being surrounded by them. And a number of men and a few ladies came up and made us feel welcome. But it was an uneasy time in the late 1960s, a lot of racial strife and unrest. And looking back on it, why was there so much hate, so much violence against the people just simply because of the color of their skin? And as those of you who watch news, read newspapers, or read news on your iPhone, there's a lot of talk about racism today, you know, in America. And even our current president has been called a racist. And I think that name has that saying or that call has been on him since he's decided to run for president. And recently, that call or that name or brand has been placed on him because he wants to stop illegal immigration, stop people from just walking across our southern border. And as all those of you who watch news, you know that the race card is being used frequently, even by politicians. And even last month, when doing the celebration of Martin Luther King's birthday, those rallies, there were politicians that were calling our president a racist. And many of the politicians use it to get support, to stir up and to get an advantage to gather or garner votes. And also recently in the news, there was a governor and attorney general who got in political trouble because of something they did 30 years ago by painting their faces black at a costume party or Halloween party. Now, let's say, for instance, if I came tonight at the costume party and painted my face white to look like Garth Brooks or Justin Bieber or Johnny Cash, and someone from the neighborhood walk in, would they want to refer to me as a racist? As members of God's church, how should we view racism? My title is, Does the Bible Promote Racism? I'll be quoting, some of my comments will be quotes from the United Church of God Bible study tool, Does the Bible Promote Racism? When we read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and we read what it actually says, the clear message is that God loves all people and is not willing that any should perish, as 2 Peter 3:19 tells us, but that all should come to repentance. The Apostle Peter was specially commissioned by God to teach the truth that God shows no partiality. And we all recount the book of Acts where Peter had this dream where he dreamed of all kinds of animals and he was told to get up and eat. And through that dream, God revealed to him that the God he served, the God we serve, shows no partiality. This is also illustrated in Galatians chapter 3. We read verse 28. Galatians 3 and verse 28. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. In our former association, this is going back a number of decades now, there were often humorous statements made to degrade or cast a discouraging view on people of color. And at times there were jokes that were bad jokes that looked down on people of color. But all of us at that time, we not say overlooked it. We didn't allow it to get under our skin or get us offended. And also there were at times comments by people who thought that people of color would have a different job in God's kingdom than someone that was a Caucasian or white. And not aware, and this is talking about people who come out of the world into the church, and we all have a certain amount of time to grow and overcome and learn what the proper respect and honor for God's creation. But we all understand now today that God is the one who decides what positions we have in God's kingdom if we make it. And another member from another area in the United States, this is going back decades now, that when he and his mother attended their first Sabbath services, as they entered the hallway of the church building, they were told that we don't play your type of music here. And the comment, he said, hurt, but he did not let it get under the skin or let it get him offended. My opinion probably was this individual was thinking that those people wanted, this man and his mother wanted to get up and shout or act like the Pentecostal. But, of course, time may have given this individual a new understanding of what a true Christian is or that people coming out of a different culture can be God's people. There's no basis in the New Testament for racism. But what do we read in the Old Testament? Despite how certain passages have been misconstrued and abused, there is not a single scripture that promotes racism in the Old Testament. Instead, we find that God always regards people by one standard only, whether they love him and whether they obey him. An example is found in Exodus 20, verse 5 and 6. Exodus 20, where the Ten Commandments are listed. We read verse 5 and 6. Exodus 20, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Within the ancient nation of Israel, God made dozens of provisions in the law to protect, care for, and respect foreigners living in the land, and to allow them to participate in the worship of him at the tabernacle. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4 and 9, which further tells of what God expects of those who serve and worship him. Ezekiel 18 and verse 4 and 9. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4 and 9. Verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul who sins, shall die. And let's read verse 9. If he has walked in my statutes and kept my my judgments faithfully, he is just. He shall surely live, says the Lord. From the very beginning of the Bible, God has consistently shown grace, mercy, and favor to anyone willing to repent and obey him, regardless of their race. There's been many attempts to interject race into the stories, such as those of Ham and Cain, which are without basis. Such interpretations are in conflict with the scripture. These claims display an ignorance of God's love for all mankind and his desire to honor us as his sons and daughters for eternity. God loves for every race of people is summed up in Revelation 7 and verse 9. Which envision a great multitude of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb. In our modern history, the evil of racism was manifest itself in the Nazi Germany, the Final Solution. After Hitler and the Nazis came to power in 1933, the racial superiority became the German government belief. This racist thought brought about the death of some 6 million Jews. More recently, the theme or the saying ethnic cleansing became the term used to describe the racially motivated slaughter of a population segment that was considered inferior. This happened in Bosnia and Rwanda in the 1990s. Today in America, racism explodes in such cities as, with clashes in such cities as Baltimore, Ferguson, Missouri, and Charlottesville, Virginia. The sin or the evil of racist thought and racially motivated hatred is deeply rooted in the heart and mind of mankind. As defined by Merriam-Webster, the dictionary, racism is the belief that race is the primary factor of human traits and capacities, and the racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. then the question may be, where does racism come from? Like all evil, it comes from the heart of man. And this is brought out in Matthew 15 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. Verse 19 of Matthew 15. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemies. Racism does not come from a system of economics that supports slavery, such as in the days of the Roman Empire or early American history. It does not originate from societal structures that support class distinction. But these two things help perpetuate racism. But they are not where racism comes from. The Bible is clear. The evils of racism come out of the heart of man. Once again, the evil of racism comes out of the heart of mankind. An attitude like racism was even addressed in the New Testament church. Here, the Apostle James warns believers not to hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Let's look at it in James 2, and we read verse 1 through 4. James chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. The caption on the top of my Bible ahead of verse 2 states, "Beware of personal favoritism." Verse 1 of James 2, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality." Verse 2, "For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool.'" Verse 4. "Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" As I said previously, there is no partiality with God. Partiality means showing favoritism or respect of person, or thinking that one person is better than another due to social, class, wealth, or race. We all must remember that we live in this world and we are, to one degree or another, affected by it. But our understanding of God's way of life should help us recognize racism or racist thoughts in our mind and heart. If we treat a person with contempt for their race, religion, social status, or any other reason, we have become judges with evil thoughts. Harboring such thoughts in the heart is to hate another person made in the image of God. Let's turn over to 1 John 3 and verse 15. 1 John 3 and verse 15. And we're dealing with the subject of love. 1 John 3 and verse 15. It states, "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. A quote from Holman's Study Bible on verse 15. There is no middle ground. Love is the gospel mandate. The person who neglects to love hates his brother. This signals an absence of eternal life, meaning we won't make it into God's kingdom. Such evil in man's heart, evil like racism, influences all his attempts to justify his supposed superiority on his brother. According to God's word, this is a spirit of murder. Another important point is that racism is a learned behavior that resides deep within the heart of man. It is demonic in every way, and it has the power to destroy a people. It is not found exclusively within the heart of one race. It's found in the hearts of all people of all races. To illustrate this further, we attended a feast with a couple of times with a young lady whose parents grew up in Africa, and her father attended Ambassador College some decades ago. She stated to us that there's racism in Africa, even though all the people are the same color. Because of there's different tribes, there's different families, and she surmised, along with her father, that it's human nature, which is a product of our heart and our mind. So racism, the subject of racism, what does it mean for you and I? We can be thankful that God shows no partiality towards race or nation. Very few can trace their heredity or their language to ancient Israel. But what's more important, what does it say about how we should think? Is it okay for us to show biases for or against anyone because of their race or nationality? Going back to Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at, again, the kind of thinking we are told to have. Through the inspired scripture, God tells us not to have our understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God. That's Ephesians 4 and verse 18. If we understand that God makes no distinction between races, yet we choose to do so anyway, what does that say about of our understanding or our way of thinking? Do we feel that we are more enlightening than God? Or is the reality that we have chosen to allow our understanding to become darkened? As those called of God, we should model our life after Jesus Christ. What did he teach us about our attitude and the treatment of other people? Let's look at the example of Matthew 5, in Matthew 5 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Matthew 5 and verse 9. Here we are told, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And then let's notice verse 9. Sorry, I read the wrong. Oh, pardon me. Racism does not promote peace. It promotes division and hatred without cause. In verse 22 of the same chapter, Jesus says to us, verse 22 of Matthew 5, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." The Bible does not teach racism. The life that Jesus Christ modeled does not teach an attitude of hate or intolerance towards people. Instead, he taught an attitude of peace towards our fellow man. There's no mistake. Racism is a sin. God is love, as stated in 1 John 4 and verse 16. Let's turn over there. 1 John 4 and verse 16. Verse 16 of 1 John 4. "And we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him." Racism has been and will continue to be a scourge on mankind. To eradicate it, this ingrained and evil way of thinking needs to be cleansed from man's heart. Thanks to God and his mercies, there is such a plan in the works. If we are the light of the world, or we are that city that sits on a hill, we must make the difference. And we must be different from them, from people, those who are around us. Satan the devil seeks to divide us as a people and as a church. We are told in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, to move towards peace. Let's read that. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Here we are told to pursue peace, verse 14 of Hebrews 12, "with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, or no one will enter his kingdom." When God brings his kingdom to this earth, racism and all evil in man's heart will be eradicated. God will show mankind a better way. As God's people, as I said previously, our lives should never reflect the ways of this world. They should reflect this life we have in the body of Christ, having the same care for one another in God's church, no matter what race or ethnic background we have. And as 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26 and 27 tells us, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26 and 27. "And if one member suffers, all the members suffers with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." Verse 27. "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." We all have a responsibility individually to be not like the world, to not allow what's going on around us affect us, to do away with the habits or a mindset that we grew up with prior to coming into the church. As I conclude, racism is a learned behavior that resides deep within the heart of man. It is demonic in every way, and it has the power to destroy a people. Racism has been and will continue to be a scourge on mankind. To eradicate it, this ingrained evil way of thinking needs to be cleansed from man's heart. Have a good Sabbath.